Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to Mission Accepted Podcast. If this is the first time that you're listening to us, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Chances are you are a return subscriber because you guys keep us busy. You are sending in messages. You are telling us who you want to hear from and you are thanking us. And we are passing those thank yous on to our guests because really it's them that makes the show. If you don't know why Mission Accepted is the name of this podcast, well, then you're going to find out today. But really, we interview the most interesting people because they have decided to take on a mission. Now, look. Life is a mission itself. We know that. But when you decide to be an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur or someone in the creative field, like a singer, a director, an actor, an author, or in self-media where you're podcast hosting or radio hosting or TV hosting or what have you, when it's actually all dependent on you, let's face it, when you're making those decisions, it is like taking a mission on. If you have your own business, you know that when you decide to go, yeah, let's do this. This feels good. That is the beginning of the mission. And you continue to say yes. So look, we've got some real, real incredible people today that have done something I would say is extraordinary. They've taken on a topic that some people may not have. It's a pretty open, big-hearted conversation that people are having around this book. So I want to get right into and welcome these two incredible women that have decided to produce a book, and I'm going to let them share what that book is and why they decided to take this mission on. And really, it's incredible. So stay with us today and listen to what these ladies have to say. So Brenda and Sue, I would love to welcome you to Mission Accepted Podcast. So grateful to have you both be able to come on today. Brenda, let's start with you a little bit. I have some history with you. You're incredible in many of the things that you do, health and wellness and taking care of others. It was no surprise to me that you decided to write a book of this nature. You are a pretty deep woman. So maybe share with us a little bit, what project am I talking about and how did you guys get this started?
Thank you so much. And yes, mission accepted and happy to be here for sure. So I'm Brenda Pierce. I'm known as the Empowered Nurse. I had a 38-year career in nursing. And of course, you know, you become a student of life, you know, when you literally touch thousands of lives in their most vulnerable times of their life, you can't help but become a student of what is it that makes us tick? And what is it that sets the trajectory of our life? So I accepted the mission with my book partner and friend, Dr. Sue Dank, to write about a very, very heartfelt and very personal topic, which is child loss. And so our book, The Secret Child, Life After Loss, brings together the stories of 15 parents of loss, and including Sue and I. And we really, it took us decades of life to get to this point to write this book. And it took us 5 years to actually put the book together. But mission accepted, we stepped over our fears, our terror barriers, and here we are.
I love how you say terror barriers. And because fear is such a, well, first of all, it's a very common word. And we all relate to it, but then kind of like throw it up. Well, yeah, we're always fearful. But it's terror barriers because there's those things that are next level. There's those things that we need to work through deeper or collaboratively or get advice on or support with or kind of have that accountability partner in life. Like those are those things like, whoa, that's a big deal. You know, venturing into there is going to be maybe something that I need to think about very carefully. So I have no doubt it took that many years. Sue, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Share with us a little bit. Thank you. Share with us a little bit about your background, and what was it for you that decided to take this on and collaborate with Brenda and take this book to market?
I am the transformational psychologist. I'm a life coach. And like Brenda, I've had years and years in the healing field and an entrepreneur in wellness also. And I, of all people, know about the balance of working through what's in your background and moving forward. So I knew I couldn't move forward without resolving this issue. And Brenda and I had learned that we had a common issue. And she talked about the terror barriers. And yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, things that you didn't even know that just popped into our brains and popped into our hearts as we were doing this, you know, and we needed to face this time and time again with the book by just reading the contributions. I mean, things that we thought had been, okay, it's all set. We've got this all fixed in our heads and in our hearts. You know what? It's things that go bump in the night. And the reason why I embarked on this with Brenda is it's something that needed to be done. There was nothing in the world for me to turn to when I lost my daughter. I knew nobody. And that, yeah, was before the internet and everything, but I didn't have any resources. And I can't be alone in that. I couldn't be alone in that. So we decided that it was a hard book to write. Yes, we acknowledged it. We called that out exactly what it was, but it was necessary. And both Brenda and I realized and agreed that this is a part of our life's journey and that it's just something that will help so many. And it also gives our children a legacy that they indeed were here, a voice.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And I'm sure many people will thank you many times over. And it's interesting when we even do a presentation or even sharing this podcast or what it is that we do, we know there's so many things that we do that we have no idea the impact on someone's life, particularly when you are in the caregiving industry or sector. You know, how many doctors see people, how many nurses see people. We know that there's, you know, a massive, you know, live happy, act of kindness, world philosophy that's happened over the last 5-10 years. And we just don't realize the impact. But when you actually make that decision, knowing it's going to bring up probably emotions and challenges for you, never mind things like production dates and getting the authors to come on board and getting this to market and keeping it in the marketplace and having it to make its impact, you know, hats off to you. So now, how did you two ladies meet? I don't know who wants to answer that question, but how did you two ladies meet?
Go ahead, Sue. I'll let you tell the story. It's really quite unique.
It really is. We were contributors in another book. And through this book, throughout discussions, one of us said, you know, we need to meet everybody. We wanted to know who the people were that we were writing a book with, contributing. So it was decided that we would go off to Nantucket. So we all flew into Boston and we had a collective SUV. And Brenda and I both have long legs. So it was actually a matter of survival for the trip because we had to drive up and we had about an hour's drive before we could hit the ferry to get to Nantucket. So we both ended up with lots of luggage around us in the back of an SUV talking and chatting. And through that time looking around luggage, you know, and not able to move very well, we found out that we really were soul sisters and that we had a lot in common. And one of the things we found in that journey was that we both had secret children, that we had both sent children, you know, before us. So it was just something that was melded. It was something that our hearts met, and we knew that we were not meeting each other, but we were re-friending one another from another time. It was just that natural and normal. And the rest is history.
Wow, isn't that amazing? So thank you for sharing that. Brenda, maybe share with us a little bit. So there's a lot of anthologies and books where people are coming together. Obviously, you two ladies were in one, which brings up a very incredible point. I always say to people, sometimes we say yes to something. We may not be 100% sure. just like we don't know the impact that we make on people or what your book will make on someone, it'll save their life. And, you know, we've heard that saying, you know, one person's story is another person's, you know, life raft, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't know the impact, but sometimes we don't know the impact of saying yes to something as well. It's like, you know, obviously I know a lot about books. I know a lot about collaborations. I organize a lot of them, and people will be like, well, I'm not sure it's going to help my business if I do this. I'm not sure. And I'm like, you have no idea. It can do so much more. That yes to this book could lead to, there you go, a ride to Nantucket that's going to kick off a lifelong friendship. You just never know. I love Richard Branson, where he's like, just say yes and figure it out later. You know, just say yes and figure it out later. But so Brenda, tell us a little bit, what was it like to, I don't know how you find people that have this. Do you, like, how did the collaboration come together? Like, did you put out something on Facebook? Did you just talk to people you knew? Or how do you find people that want to first come into a book with this topic? And how does that conversation go?
Well, it's really interesting. This, for this one, it's all people that Sue and I know personally. Okay. And through various, you know, I've been out in the media world for quite a few years. And so from doing my events and things like that, you have these conversations and it crops up, and, or you find out on social media, somebody might make a remark about, well, this is so-and-so's anniversary, but these people all in this book are now family. They're our family. And we have our children to thank for bringing us all together. And so for this book, it's a very personal mission and collaboration of finding the people that just showed up and we knew. So yes, that's how we did it.
Right. And how long did it take for the book to get together? Like, how long did that, all that process take? And how did you guys support each other through that process?
Well, you can go ahead on that one, Sue.
Okay, I have to laugh on this one because I give credit to Brenda all the kudos in the world, because she is a good, an amazing person, amazing writing partner. She worked around my crazy schedule. I have a private practice, and there was 9 other things going on in my life throughout it. It took about 5 years from start to finish, and all the patience in the world, you need that when you're writing, when you're co-writing with somebody, because mm-hmm. you don't know all the time what's going on in their life. Brenda worked crazy hours. I worked crazy hours. She would get called in on a for a shift when she was working, and I would get called out for an emergency. But 5 years is the answer. The down and out thing is 5 years is what it took for us to write this, to get it together, to really get it together.
And I would like to say actually putting it together, because we talked about it for probably 8 years. And then we finally kind of said, if we don't start, we're never going to start. And then even during the process, there were starts and stops that could have thrown us or derailed us permanently off of this. And so it was quite the process, but we want to move forward with further books as well. And we're not going to, we're planning on at least 1 or 2 per year, depending, because there's so many avenues to this topic. Now we've got our process in place and we know our do's and don'ts, because that in itself is a huge roller coaster. Mm-hmm. We've now fast tracked that. So yeah, we're not going to be 5 years for the next one.
No. Well, the amazing part about it too, if I might interject, is sometimes the universe really sets you up for what you're supposed to be doing in life. And I had been going through all of the papers and everything I had written throughout all my education. And I found that I had kept one paper, and it was a paper on parental bereavement. And I never knew why I kept that until we started writing the book. And that gave us so much of a basis of the research that really you have to do when you're writing a book. But it gave us such a basis for the research that we kind of sat and laughed about the fact that, yeah, this is the one that was left out of the pile that got shredded of papers.
Yes, the universe is very interesting, is it not? It's very interesting. So, what would you, and I'd love to hear from both of you on this. So we have, you know, the life of an entrepreneur many times, particularly now, with people have had, you know, a shift
in their life. You're seeing a lot of books come to market. You're seeing a lot of people brave up and become authors, whether they're writing it about their work content, their personal content, parenting, entrepreneurship, food. I mean, you name it. People are putting themselves out there, which takes a certain level of bravery anyways, to put your things in something that will go. It's not like you've done a Facebook Live and it's deleted and no one's going to see it again. So you brave up for that presentation. We are in the world of media and things get passed around. So it takes a different kind of bravery. And there's people, many people that you'll hear say, I have a book inside. I have a story inside. And it can be a difficult one. It could be something like a content like yours, or it could be something traumatic, or it could be wounds, or they know that what it is going to bring up or resurface for them some feelings. And it is the one barrier that's stronger above and beyond anything else. So you obviously, both of you had to kind of face that decision-making and going through this, and clearly so did your other people that collaborated. What would your advice be to someone that's looking at taking on something that you know is going to bring up some uncomfortable emotions?
Go. So what it is basically, what is your biggest problem in life or biggest wound in life can be your biggest gift. And so facing that gift, because I have come up with this theory that, you know, the past does not have to confine us. It does not have to define us, but it can refine us. So taking your pain and really learning how you can turn it into a positive to help others is truly, you know, the greatest gift you can do. It's leaving a legacy.
Okay. And to piggyback on what you said, Brenda, I feel that you have to realize that there's somebody out there that needs to hear your story. They're just sitting there waiting to hear your story. Now, it may not seem like a whole big deal to you, but to somebody else, it's their life. It's a lifeline and it gets people through life and they don't feel so alone. And when you don't feel so alone, when there's two people anyway that feel the way you do, life becomes a whole lot better.
Right.
So it's the not feeling alone thing and the need to get it out there.
Right. And, you know, maybe getting some support, like, you know, you guys obviously had each other. So if someone was going to venture and take that on themselves and write a solo book, you know, having someone that maybe knows their story or they can go to if emotions start to get, you know, over bubbling or they need to, or also having the permission to put the book aside to, you know, let it have its organic growth with you. It might be a book that takes years to write. You might have to do it in bits and pieces, but how, you know, just being able to be a little prepared or have that kind of thing where you've got someone like you guys did with each other. So we do it, you do it, the book is done, it's ready to go. So what was the feeling after the book was done? What were your collaborators feeling? What was their process around it?
Oh, well, it was a beautiful thing because all of our contributors this was the first time that after burying their child in their heart and moving on with life, they realized that they really hadn't either grieved completely or they were thankful of being able to give life to their child again, because this book, you know, we can't hold our children's hand anymore, but we can hold this book in our hands. And it's now become a real family. And just the thanks and the gratitude from each of the contributors for us bringing them together, you know, it becomes a bigger mission. Right. And that's beautiful.
And we were both adamant about the fact that it needed to be a printed book, because there's no child to hold. But as Brenda says, when you hold that book, it couldn't be just a Kindle book. We wouldn't hear of that. Mm-hmm. We know, and we're so honored that people share their story. But if we could, they gave us so much by sharing their story. And if we can just give back one thing by giving them that book to hold, to share, to say, yeah, that was real. I didn't dream that. That really happened.
Right.
And it validates them. It validates their child. So I would say that one of the most important decisions that Brenda and I made was to bring the book to printed, to the printed end.
Nice. Well, that makes perfect sense when you say it like that. So let's talk a little bit about, you just mentioned that this is not going to be the only book. And you now are, you know, you are now, you were authors before, you are now authors of your own book. So congratulations. And you are just taking this book, you know, this book is now landed in market and we definitely want to hear where it is. So you've gone through this process. Obviously it's an emotional process. You're having great success. People need what you have. What is it that you, one, hope people get from reading this book? Because it's the kind of book that you would say, well, so who's going to read it? Who would read that story? Well, it could not just be parents of it, but friends and family. I mean, when I think about that, I think about, so I've just recently, one of my dearest friends, we just realized 42 years we've been together, and she's just lost her second child. And as someone who, now, you know, it's bad enough going to the first funeral, and going to the second funeral was, what do you say then? And so even for friends and family, not knowing, you can think you know, you can imagine that you know, but you don't know. Would this be a good book for friends and family to read to get an understanding? Practitioners, like, share with me, who should be reading this book?
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah, yeah. You know, we all experience loss in one form or another. For parents of loss who lots of times will journey through the process of grief. And we know Dr. Kubler-Ross has recommended the four stages of grief and that it should take a year. When you are a parent of loss, you can get stuck in one of those times longer than you need to, but it's your own experience. And the journey of grief never ends. You know, it's for all of us, whether we lose friends or family or parents or the child of our hearts, you know, it never ends, but we can journey through as long as we realize that when we start to look at the life of that child in particular, you know, it's important for us to realize that they never left us to hurt us. And that's the baseline. And yet, and then when you look at going through the journey, that they're actually, their life was a gift and that it can make us a better person. And that whole process is for anyone, you know, who experiences loss.
So anyone that's experienced loss would benefit from reading this book.
Absolutely.
Sue, what would you say to that? I mean, as someone who's obviously versed in the world of wellness and psychology, I would think this would be a great book for professionals to be getting.
Gracious. It really is, because we're always looking for something to share with our clients, with the population that we work with. And to, once again, we'll go back to not feeling like you're alone in the world, right? How did others cope? And to say, you know what? Yes, your child had value. That's so important, is to realize in a society like today, that children don't always seem to have as much value, you know? And it's to help people. It's to help them learn that there's all different kinds of ways to grieve, that all of us have grieved differently, but there's a similarity. So not only people in the mental health field, but how about people like clergy? How about people, funeral directors? You know, how about parents who have, you know, just hospitals? What about a hospital or a social service department of a hospital? I think they really ought to be sharing this book, you know, with the parents. I really do.
Well, obviously, it's a very well needed resource, right? Not only just for people that are grieving. Obviously, we have viewers that are watching us right now and listeners right now, and there's many people that are identifying clearly with what it is that we're saying. And so before they go and they hit where to go get the book and get the book, you guys have been in this, absorbed in this for a number of years. So if someone was listening to it right now and they were in need, could you, with the experience that you have now, maybe just share with us some of the coping skills that people have done that have brought some peace? I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sue, on this one.
I can tell you for myself personally, I'll share my very personal story is it was years later, and I actually was directed by somebody I knew to set up an altar to honor my child, because my child was stillborn and I never held her. So I could never be a parent. I could never be a mother to this child. But through that, the altar, I was able to do something. I was able to honor her, to let her know how I felt. And that for me was the epitome of helping to release her. And by releasing her, she was ever more present with me. So it's kind of an irony there. So just, I think that people used ways of, there are many who got angry. There are many who just resorted to being sad. And those are very, very normal things. But the majority of the parents eventually found out that there was a cause that could be supported in their child's name. Mm-hmm. You know, for some it is to have safe chases of the police, because one parent lost her child through a high-speed police chase, innocent victim. It could be for drugs. It could be for mental health. It could be for safe working conditions. We don't realize all the ways our children leave our lives. Lots of times we think, oh, it's just sickness or it's something like that. No, every way imaginable can happen to the parents. And I have found that they are the most creative, most heart-centered people that you can imagine in what they're doing to honor their children and to create the legacy and to help other parents. They're reaching out and they know that what they went through was very difficult, and they're putting their arms out and they're saying, here, let me help you. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So if we get out of our own heads, that's probably the very best way to help us heal.
Awesome. And Brenda, is there anything you want to add to that?
One of the things that really becomes clear to a lot of parents who lose younger children is they think they can never have another child, or that they're being sacrilege to the memory of the child that they've lost. So for me, I had twins. One was born very healthy and the other one was born very sick, and we lost Kenny after 4.5 months after surgery. So I had a hard time grieving because I had a healthy child I had to be present for. So the thing is, though, if anything, just learning that you can grieve and you can move on with life. You can have more children. I had two more after. And it doesn't diminish that child that we've lost. In fact, we've learned ways of making sure that Kenny was present. We stayed in touch with some of the healthcare professionals that took care of him through the years. And learning that legacy doesn't necessarily have to be something you immediately step into, but looking for the legacy of life to honor that child can be something that can be done at any time. So such as this book coming forward and writing about the experiences, for sure.
Right. Well, ladies, it's interesting. We're on a entrepreneurial podcast where people come listening to different ideas of what to entrepreneur and how to entrepreneur. And I think that, this falls in so many categories of not just taking on the mission, but making it your whatever it is that you decide to do impactful to you, impactful to others. And this is obviously one of the most heart-centered, self-giving projects that we've had the honor of having on the show thus far. Now, first of all, obviously people want to know where to get the book. Brenda, you talked about an ongoing. So if you have anything that you'd want to share now, we're happy to cheer you on while that's in process. And is there anything else that you ladies really want to say what was it that you were hoping the world would receive from this book? I think we've covered lots, but if there's anything else, this would be the time to share it. So Brenda, let's start with you.
Yeah, so thank you. So both Sue and I are entrepreneurs. We're direct marketing and we have network marketing backgrounds. And, we're both RTT therapists, practitioners. We're both licensed RTT practitioners, which is a way of helping to break through blocks. And this is one of the things that as we move forward, We wanted to be able to help people, especially people who may be holding on to their grief so deeply that it is preventing them from becoming successful in their future careers or breaking the glass ceiling, you know. So there is a way of honoring our losses and still moving forward and creating the life of our dreams. We don't have to, you know, perpetually suffer in silence. So the book is available on Amazon. You can look it up, The Secret Child, Life After Loss. This is it. You can also go to our website, which is www.thesecretchildbookseries.com. And we talk about future projects as well. So we're looking for stories from the impact of grandparents, fathers. We have a father in our book, you know, majority are women, but and mothers, but we do have a father. We'd love to get that feeling from a father's perspective to help fathers. They usually sit in silence and grieve silently and grieve differently than a woman does. Siblings of loss, you know, there's so many. We want to collect these stories and we want to get this out there. And we do it for no charge. So we're collecting the stories for no charge, and you will, you know, contributors will get a copy of the book. I'll pass it over to Sue.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if I can really, really add to what Brenda has says. What do I want the world to know? I want the world to know that it's okay to grieve. Mm-hmm. I want the world to know that it's okay to show your emotion and to be human. And I want the world to know that sometimes the hardest thing is the best thing, not only for yourself, but for so many others. You know, we always talk about leap and the net will appear. Well, sometimes leap and your wings sprout and they just help you soar. And so I'd like to encourage people to come forth and to, if you have a story to tell, tell it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It really doesn't. Brenda and I have found out there are people that can help us. You know, we don't have to do it all alone. And that's huge. That's huge to find that out. And don't feel like you have to do it all alone. But reach out. Share your story. Our book is just one of many. And as Brenda says, we have visions of helping all different, of having all different kinds of books in the series. The good Lord willing, we will, you know. Brenda's patience holding out, we will.
Well, you know what? Good things like good wine, ladies. Good things like good wine. Okay, so I'm going to completely change the energy of the show. I'm going to completely ask you both a question individually that is very important. I'm sure music is a big part of my life. And Brenda, you know, and Sue, welcome to knowing that in about 15 months, myself and a very incredible woman who was a police officer in Vancouver for 30 years. I'm an entrepreneur for 30 years. And so we're delving into raising money for a music association called She Is the Music. It's Alicia Keys' organization, because it's a global organization that really helps just the power of music. And I'm sure with your topic that people have used a lot of music for a lot of healing. And that's literally what we believe music to be. So anyways, we're walking 10 marathons across Ireland. For the sake of the music industry. So I want to ask you a question that's based around music, and it's a separate question for each of you. And you're not going to the same desert island. You're going to a desert island by yourself, and there's no one else. And you're packing your suitcase or your trunks or whatever you're taking, and you have room for one album. One album. What album would you pack with you to take with you? It's obviously an album that you could not imagine not listening to the rest of your life. So Brenda, we'll start with you. What album would that be?
It would be Parachute Club and Rise Up. And they're a Canadian band from Quebec. So Rise Up is such a powerful, it's an old song, but every time I hear it, I can't help but think about, raising the vibe, right?
That's such a great song. Okay, so Parachute Club, Rise Up. So whatever album that's on, that's going in your suitcase. And Sue, what would yours be?
Mine's entirely different. Mine would be the theme from Flashdance.
Oh, I love it.
Because, and here's the reason why, is it got me through all of my education. It took me 17 years to get my doctorate. So I needed to have some music that motivated me. And if I was on an island, I need something to keep me going, right? And so the line in it says, take your passion and make it happen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So ladies, you now have been reminded of the song that's going to rock you through to your next projects. They're both fantastic. And I just want to thank you so much. And I want to encourage everyone out there. Look, we've all had some kind of dance with the experience of grief. And I think just knowing, I mean, when I'm listening to you talk, I'm like, wow, I do know a woman who works with helping people plan their funerals and even having like life insurance agents. They talk about these things. And all that. I mean, really, what a powerful resource, and honestly, so needed. It's hard to imagine, right? So every hospital waiting room should have one sitting there because someone's going to pick it up, right? At hospices and places like that. So anyways, so I encourage everyone to go and go onto their website, find out about these two amazing ladies, purchase your book and share it, right? That's the best thing, to share it. And so also share this episode. When you hear this episode, share it with everyone you can, because what a beautiful way to look at something that wasn't necessarily so beautiful. Ladies, thank you so much for coming onto the show. And for any of you that are listening out there, if you have a story to tell, you're an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur or creative, or you've got a book launch coming on or something that you have created, please contact us. We're happy to support to get you onto the show. And again, Sue and Brenda, thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Thank you.